Good morning. This morning I'd like to look a little at investing in the lives of other people. How do we do that? Some of us are around a lot of people every day, and we interact with them at various levels. Regardless of our level of interaction, they will influence us, and we will influence them. If we are a follower of Christ, we should be representing Christ to others. How we represent Christ to others are what I call, or I like to refer to, the term of making a deposit or a withdrawal. Think of a bank account. You usually like deposits instead of withdrawals. An account with lots of money is more useful than a withdrawn account. In the same way, people that make deposits in us are more likely to gain our respect, our friendship and trust over people that make withdrawals. Usually these types of people we stay away from. To represent Christ, we must make deposits in the lives of others. I'd like to look at a list of some ways in which we make deposits or withdrawals in other people's lives. I want to look at the withdrawals thing first because I'd like to end up on a more positive note. So some ways that we make withdrawals is by being selfish, not sharing what God has given us, or having a me-first attitude. By not having a smile on our face, maybe walking around with a frown on our face or looking like we just got done sucking on a lemon. And then seems like we can, you know, if we're too busy to spend time with others, that's a negative. In today's world, not responding to emails or phone calls can be a withdrawal. Lacking forgiveness, especially to people that are maybe harder to forgive than others. Not keeping our commitments, I think that's a big one. Not showing appreciation when others do something for us. We just take it for granted, or we feel like they owed it to us. Not being sensitive to another's culture. I think this is a big one for today's world because we interact with a lot of different cultures on a day-to-day basis. Constantly criticizing and finding fault in others. Gossiping. I think that's one that can be easy for us sometimes. And then also lying, not being truthful. Sometimes even if it might mean being truthful, we hurt ourselves, but instead we choose to lie about something. Just as withdrawing too much from a bank account is a problem, in the same way withdrawing too much from people can be a problem, which may lead to an overdrawn account. When we have overdrawn accounts, it's no wonder people do not respond to us the way we would like for them to. So now let's look at some ways that we can make deposits into people's lives. So smiling, wearing a smile on our face, it makes people wonder what you're up to, for one thing, and it represents us as a friendly person. Greeting people, simple hello or how are you doing today, can go a long way. Choosing words and mannerisms appropriately, how we interact with people, the words we use when interacting with them. Doing good things for others in little or big ways. Showing grace for others' mistakes. After all, Christ, you know, showed grace to us. And we're not perfect, so we make mistakes as well. Showing compassion, caring how others are feeling, visiting the sick and needy, forgiving others, especially when they do something against us, or, and that includes our enemies. Serving people have a servant heart. We see Jesus was probably our best example of that. He washed the disciples' feet, giving our friendship to someone in need. So when there are people in our life who tend to make life miserable for others, depositing into them can be a real challenge. Depositing into people is not an easy task, but one that can be accomplished with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think Jesus made it very clear that our light must shine before men. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I'd like to look at a few scriptures that talk about this subject. The first one is in Philippians 2, verse 3. It says, "Do nothing for selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself." Hebrews 3:13. "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Luke 6, there's two verses there. Verse 35 says, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." And then verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Matthew 7:12. "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." I think I got the wrong verse there. Let me try that again. Electronics are great when they work right. Here we go. It's the golden rule. "So whatsoever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And then the last one I want to look at is John 3, verse 18. 1 John 3, verse 18. "Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Okay, I'd like to read a story that I think represents how a teacher made a big deposit in the lives of her students. One day, a teacher asked her students to list the names of the other students in the room on two sheets of paper, leaving a space between each name. Then she told them to think of the nicest thing they could say about each of their classmates and write it down. It took the remainder of the class period to finish their assignment. And as the students left the room, each one handed in the papers. That Saturday, the teacher wrote down the name of each student on a separate sheet of paper and listed what everyone else had said about that individual. On Monday, she gave each student his or her list. Before long, the entire class was smiling. "Really?" she heard whispered. "I never knew that I meant anything to anyone, and I didn't know others liked me so much," were most of the comments. No one ever mentioned those papers in class again. She never knew if they discussed them after class with their parents, but it didn't matter. The exercise had accomplished its purpose. The students were happy with themselves and one another. That group of students moved on. Several years later, one of the students was killed in Vietnam, and his teacher attended the funeral of that special student. She had never seen a serviceman in a military coffin before. He looked so handsome, so mature. The church was packed with his best friends. One by one, those who loved him took a last walk by the coffin. The teacher was the last one to bless the coffin. As she stood there, one of the soldiers, who acted as pallbearer, came up to her. "Were you Mark's math teacher?" he asked. She nodded yes. Then he said, "Mark talked about you a lot." After the funeral, most of Mark's former classmates went together to a luncheon. Mark's mother and father were there, obviously wanting to speak with his teacher. "We want to show you something," his father said, taking a wallet out of his pocket. "They found this on Mark when he was killed. We thought you might recognize it." Opening the billfold, he carefully removed two worn pieces of notebook paper that had obviously been taped, folded, and refolded many times. The teacher knew without looking that the papers were the ones in which he had listed all the good things each of Mark's classmates had said about him. "Thank you so much for doing that," Mark's mother said. "As you can see, Mark treasured it." All of Mark's former classmates started to gather around. Charlie smiled rather sheepishly and said, "I still have my list. It's in the top drawer of my desk at home." Chuck's wife said, "Chuck asked me to put it in his wedding album, in our wedding album. I have mine too." Marilyn said, "It's in my diary." Then Vicky, another classmate, reached into her pocketbook, took out her wallet, and showed her worn and frazzled list to the group. "I carry this with me at all times," Vicky said. And without batting an eyelash, she continued, "I think we all saved our lists." That's when the teacher finally sat down and cried. She cried for Mark and for all his best friends who would never see him again. The density of people in society is so thick today that we forget that life will end one day, and we don't know when that one day will be. So please tell the people you love and care for that they are special and important. Tell them before it's too late. Remember, we reap what we sow. What we put into the lives of others comes back into our own. So just a few things to be thinking about. Are we making mostly deposits or mostly withdrawals in the lives of others? Find someone you can start depositing into and start to add small deposits at first, like a casual smile or a greeting. Larger deposits will come, but start small to gain their trust. Do you have an overdrawn account? If so, it will take time to rebuild. Do you know of anyone who is withdrawing a lot from your account? If so, try and find a way to deposit into that person's life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, this morning I thank you for this challenge that we have before us to deposit into the lives of others more so than making withdrawals. And I pray that you would help us not to forget this, but that we would put it to practice every day of our life with the individuals we interact with, whether it be our family, co-workers, people we don't know. I pray that you would give us the strength and the ability to do that this next week. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.